Well, hello, little children. It's July 31st, 2023, 1709. Yes, 1709 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. Well, I received a very important phone call, so I had to restart the video. Maybe this will work, I'm not sure, but if I do get a phone call, it will sound very quietly in the background now, which is somewhat improved. Perhaps, but I shouldn't hopefully receive a call. The study today, we have Carl Jung, who said, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. And I've known that for some time, actually, before I heard about Carl Jung. The Chinese philosopher Sun Tzu said, you have to believe in yourself. Mark Twain said, the lack of money is the root of all evil. Some people say the root of money. And our song for today is from 19... I have to find it again. I just realized. It shouldn't be too long. Here it is. It's from 1981, and 1981, it was number one in Canada. And Canada is the only chart that I can find that it was, on which it was number one. It was number three on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 also. And, but it was in Canada a huge hit, number one. And it's from Styx, the band Styx, an American band. I went to a Styx concert when I was fairly young, either, I believe it was either high school or university. I remember going to a Styx concert, maybe it was high school even, but I think we went to Ottawa, which was not too far away from Deep River, so that could have been where it was. And I also saw an April Wine concert, but I think, well, that was definitely while I was at university. Because I remember the person I went with was someone I met at university. But the people I went with, whatever, whoever it was now, I mean, however many there were. But I would not have gone to the Styx concert by myself, I don't think. I was not really a fan of Styx necessarily at the time. But the writer of the song and the lead vocal singer is Dennis DeYoung. This is from 1981. From 1981, this is Dennis DeYoung singing, and Styx, the band, performing also. It's quite a good performance, I think. The song, The Best of Times, 1981.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. Honey, you and I. 'Cause I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here to. headlines read, these are the worst of times. I do believe it's true. I feel so helpless, like a boat against the tide. I wish the summer wind could bring back paradise, but I know.
The band Styx is a very theatrical, or I prepared the reading for the article today. I just suppose I didn't have it narrowed yet at the time, so I need to do that now to adjust the position. The band Styx is a very sort of fantastical band, where they seem to play or write songs that are very mythical, or as though they're from, or I guess it's not really talking about legends in this song, but it has the feeling of that they're telling some kind of legendary story whenever they sing one of their songs or perform one of their songs. It's very theatrical and very, what's a lot of pomp and ceremony in the songs, which was part of their charm. So, from Born and Raised, Chapter 3, Paragraph 6. Having established that the years of Tiberius do align with 26 CE and the Book of Luke, the baptism performed by John is assumed to occur in the fall, or perhaps in the late summer, when the temperatures are favorable, when the half of the week of Daniel is literal. I'm going to need more water again. Then Jesus' ministry is 3 years, 6 months. So let me go and get some water here. Bring it over. I had the water over here, and then I had to move the water because that's where the camera goes. So the water got moved. And I don't want to be tripping on the water. So now I have some water within reach. So, when the half of the week of Daniel is literal, then Jesus' ministry is 3 years, 6 months, half of a week of 7 years, calculating back from his death near mid-Nisan in the spring of 30 CE, to a baptism in mid-Tishri of 26 CE, 3.5 years earlier, or about September. Clearly, Jesus' baptismal date, birth date, and age at baptism are all connected. And regarding Jesus' age at baptism, we have only that Jesus was about 30 years old, which from the fall of 26 CE takes us back to the BCE years, about 5 BCE, with no zero year for age 30. We go back 30 years from 26, it'll go back past the year 1 BCE and takes us all the way back to 5 BCE approximately, and it turns out that's if he were exactly 30. But it turns out he's a little more than 30, it looks like, here, when we later on determine his birth year as BCE 6. Now, there's no zero year, which means that zero is just a dividing line. It's not a year. And from 0 to 0.75 CE is the first 9 months of the year 1 CE. So we can call it 0 to 0.75 of a year, first 9 months. The fall of 26 CE, therefore, would be beginning about 26.75 CE, or 25, excuse me. Fall of 26 is 25.75 CE. That's the year 26, 25 years plus 9 months is the year 26 in the fall. And that's how we do that. And BCE, from the BCE years, from 1 to 0.25 BCE, those are the first 9 months of the year BCE 1. It counts backwards from 1 to 0.25. So 25.75 minus 30 also is another calculation we can do. That gives us BCE 4.25. There's no zero year, right? Is that true? Let me think here. It's fascinating here. I'm starting to think this is wrong now. If one BCE is 1 year before 1 CE, then if we went back, but the thing is we're representing it not as 26, we're representing it as 25.75, and that means when we go back 30, we're getting to 4.25. If we went from the year 26 back 30, we'd go back into the year 5 BCE, which is correct here. So 4.25 is the year 5 BCE in the fall. And the birth of Jesus is within a year prior to the above. Now, for some people, it may take a while to understand the way that this is calculated. But I understand that because I've been doing calculations all my life, or for the part of my schooling, anyway, the part of my life that was in school, and I became an engineer, so I've done a lot of different calculations, and I know what the problems are with calculating things. They're difficult for me too at times. The birth of Jesus is within a year prior to the above, because he was 30 years and some months, perhaps, right? So late, I mean, he was about 30 years old. So late BCE 6 to the fall of BCE 5, the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what we've determined. A birth in the fall of 5 BCE means an age of 30 years. With Jesus born between late BCE 6 and the fall of BCE 5, in other words, BCE 6 after the fall, he is then between 30 and 31 years of age in 26 CE in the fall of that year, and about 30 years of age, between 30 and 31, that is. By using fractional years in the above calculation, we avoided the subtraction of the zero additional year. John the Baptizer was 6 months older than Jesus and could have begun baptizing in the spring of 26 CE, with his age at that time also being 30 years old. For Luke 1 and 26 says that John's mother Elizabeth was 5 months pregnant with John when Mary conceived by Holy Spirit. So we're just considering it as 5 or 6 months in that sentence. As far as the difference in age between Jesus and John the Baptizer, but of course, John could have been born either late or early, and so, and the same with Jesus, in terms of the 40 weeks of pregnancy that are typical in humans. We don't know those details. So that's the end of the study for today. It looks like we've figured out something interesting about the time of Jesus' birth there. The proverb for today, little children, is from Proverbs 21. I want to move along quickly because we have a lot of the book of Numbers is quite long. I don't know if we're quick enough. But Proverbs 21:1 is, a king's heart is as streams of water in the hand of Jehovah. Everywhere that he delights to, he turns it. Jehovah turns the king's heart to wherever he delights. Numbers 31. Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance for the sons of Israel upon the Midianites. Afterward, you will be gathered to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, equip men from among you for the army, that they may serve against Midian to execute Jehovah's vengeance upon Midian. 1,000 of each tribe of all the tribes of Israel you will send into the army. Accordingly, from the thousands of Israel, 1,000 were assigned of a tribe. 12,000 equipped for the army. Then Moses sent them out, 1,000 of each tribe, to the army, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, to the army, and the holy utensils and the trumpets for blowing calls were in his hand. And they went waging war against Midian, just as Jehovah had commanded Moses. And they proceeded to kill every male. And they killed the kings of Midian along with the others slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur, that is, and Reba, the five kings of Midian, and they killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. Son of Beor. Balaam, about whom we read earlier, who was the one called by Balak to execrate Israel. But the sons of Israel carried off the women of Midian and their little ones captive, and all their domestic animals and all their livestock and all their means of maintenance they plundered, and all their cities in which they had settled and all their walled camps they burned with fire. And they went taking all the spoil and all the booty in the way of humans and domestic animals. Oh, it's good. And they came bringing to Moses and Eleazar the priest and to the assembly of the sons of Israel the captives and the booty and the spoil to the camp, to the desert plains of Moab, which are by the Jordan at Jericho. Then Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the chieftains of the assembly went out to meet them outside the camp. And Moses grew indignant at the appointed men of the combat forces, the chiefs of the thousands and the chiefs of the hundreds who were coming in from the military expedition. So Moses said to them, have you preserved alive every female? Look, they are the ones who by Balaam's word served to induce the sons of Israel to commit unfaithfulness toward Jehovah over the affair of Peor, so that the scourge came upon the assembly of Jehovah. And now kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman who has had intercourse with man by lying with a male, and preserve alive for yourselves all the little ones among the women who have not known the act of lying with a male. As for you yourselves, camp outside the camp 7 days. Everyone who has killed a soul and everyone who has touched someone slain, you should purify yourselves on the third day, and on the seventh day, you and your captives. And every garment and every article of skin and everything made of goat's hair and every article of wood, you should purify for yourselves from sin. Eleazar the priest then said to the men of the army who had gone into the battle, this is the statute of the law that Jehovah commanded Moses. Only the gold and the silver, the copper, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that is processed with fire, you should pass through the fire, and it must be clean. Only it should be purified by the water for cleansing. And everything that is not processed with fire, you should pass through the water. And you must wash your garments on the seventh day and be clean. And afterward you may come into the camp. And Jehovah proceeded to say this to Moses. Take the sum of the booty, the captives, both of humankind and of domestic animals. You and Eleazar the priest and the heads of the fathers of the assembly. And you must divide the booty in two between those taking part in the battle, who went out on the expedition, and all the rest of the assembly. And as a tax for Jehovah, you must take away from the men of war who went out on the expedition one soul out of 500 of humankind and of the herd and of the asses and of the flock. From their half you should take it, and you must give it to Eleazar the priest as Jehovah's contribution. And from the half of the sons of Israel you should take one out of 50 of humankind, of the herd, of the asses, and of the flock, of every sort of domestic animal. And you must give them to the Levites, the keepers of the obligation of Jehovah's tabernacle. And Moses and Eleazar the priest went doing just as Jehovah had commanded Moses. And the booty, the rest of the plunder that the people of the expedition had taken as plunder, amounted to 675,000 of the flock, and 72,000 of the herd, and 61,000 asses. As for human souls from the women who had not known the act of lying with a male, all the souls were 32,000. And the half that was the share of those who went out on the expedition amounted in number to 337,500 of the flock. And the tax for Jehovah from the flock amounted to 675. And of the herd, there were 36,000, and the tax on them for Jehovah was 72. And the asses were 30,500, and the tax on them for Jehovah was 61. And the human souls were 16,000, and the tax on them for Jehovah was 32 souls. Then Moses gave the tax as Jehovah's contribution to Eleazar the priest, just as Jehovah had commanded Moses. And from the half belonging to the sons of Israel, which Moses divided from that belonging to the men who waged war, now the half of the assembly from the flock amounted to 337,500, and of the herd, 36,000, and the asses, 30,500, and the human souls, 16,000. Then Moses took from the half belonging to the sons of Israel the one to be taken out of 50 of humankind and of domestic animals, and gave them to the Levites, the keepers of the obligation of Jehovah's tabernacle, just as Jehovah had commanded Moses. And the appointed men who were of the thousands of the assembly, the chiefs of the thousands and the chiefs of the hundreds, proceeded to approach Moses and to say to Moses, your servants have taken the sum of the men of war who are in our charge, and not one has been reported missing from us. So let us present each one what he has found as Jehovah's offering, articles of gold, ankle chainlets and bracelets, signet rings, earrings, and female ornaments, in order to make atonement for our souls before Jehovah. Accordingly, Moses and Eleazar the priest accepted the gold from them. All the jewelry and all the gold of the contribution that they contributed to Jehovah amounted to 16,750 shekels from the chiefs of the thousands and the chiefs of the hundreds. The men of the army had taken plunder each for himself. So Moses and Eleazar the priest accepted the gold from the chiefs of the thousands and of the hundreds and brought it into the tent of meeting as a memorial for the sons of Israel before Jehovah. That's the end of Numbers chapter 31. You might want to do the math and check that it is correct when they took the tax. You could do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes to the Corinthians, become imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I commend you, because in all things you have me in mind, and you are holding fast the traditions just as I handed them on to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is the Christ. In turn, the head of a woman is the man. In turn, the head of the Christ is God. Every man that prays or prophesies, having something on his head, shames his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, shames her head. For it is one and the same as if she were a woman with a shaved head. For if a woman does not cover herself, let her also be shorn. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man ought not to have his head covered, as he is God's image and glory, but the woman is man's glory. For man is not out of woman, but woman out of man. And what is more, man was not created for the sake of the woman, but woman for the sake of the man. That is why the woman ought to have a sign of authority upon her head because of the angels. Besides, in connection with the Lord, neither is woman without man, nor man without woman, for just as the woman is out of the man, so also the man is through the woman. So referring to the fact that Eve was created from the rib of Adam, and all men are born through their mother. But all things are out of God. Judge for your own selves. Is it fitting for a woman to pray uncovered to God? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, because her hair is given her instead of a headdress. However, if any man seems to dispute for some other custom, we have no other, neither do the congregations of God. But while giving these instructions, I do not commend you, because it is not for the better, but for the worse that you meet together. For first of all, when you come together in a congregation, I hear divisions exist among you, and in some measure I believe it. For there must also be sects among you, that these persons approved may also become manifest among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not possible to eat the Lord's evening meal. For when you eat it, each one takes his own evening meal beforehand, so that one is hungry, but another is intoxicated. Certainly you do have houses for eating and drinking, do you not? Or do you despise the congregation of God and make those who have nothing ashamed? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you? In this I do not commend you, for I received from the Lord that which I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was going to be handed over, took a loaf, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and said, "This means my body, which is in your behalf. Keep doing this in remembrance of me." He did likewise, respecting the cup also, after he had the evening meal, saying, "This cup means the new covenant by virtue of my blood. Keep doing this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this loaf and drink this cup, you keep proclaiming the death of the Lord until he arrives. Consequently, whoever eats the loaf or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty respecting the body and the blood of the Lord. First let a man approve himself after scrutiny, and thus let him eat of the loaf and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks judgment against himself, if he does not discern the body. That is why many among you are weak and sickly, and quite a few are sleeping in death. But if we would discern what we ourselves are, we would not be judged. However, when we are judged, we are disciplined by Jehovah, that we may not become condemned with the world. Consequently, my brothers, when you come together to eat it, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, that you may not come together for judgment. But the remaining matters I will set in order when I get there." That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's all for our study for today. We have about 3.5 minutes remaining in our study for today. Little ones, it's exceptionally dry, the air today. And the weather has been very pleasant in not being too hot. It's been, for the month of July, it's been very, at the end of the month, very cool. And exceptionally cool. Not just a little bit, but it's just about 70, in the 70s. In the 70s is what it's been, you know, Fahrenheit, or the mid-20s centigrade or Celsius. So I forgot to unplug my UPS battery. I just realized that's why we had a little bit of noise in the background there. Now the microphone can probably be heard without much background noise, because that shut itself off. But I should have unplugged it. I should remember to unplug things and do it as soon as I think of it, because it doesn't matter if it's unplugged a little longer. I'm going to plug it in again at the end. After I unplug something, I'll leave the plug lying in a place where I can't miss it, where I have to plug it in again before I can do something else, because it's lying in the way. That's a memory aid. So, I mean, what else is there to say? We've got 2 minutes. There are many things to say, I know, but I'm not very strong. I sent my car to the Honda service center this morning, and I got a list of all the things that they want to do to repair it. So just got a phone call at the beginning of my attempt, my first attempt to make a video here. Now I think we're going to succeed at this time, hopefully. The microphone seems to be turned on, but you never know. You never know. I just don't have much energy, so I really need the video to succeed on the first try, if at all possible. And, well, now I've turned my phone volume down, so it's not going to ring too loudly, but I wanted to take that call anyway, so I didn't. I knew it was an important thing, so because it told me who was calling. So anyway, there's so many things going on right now. I've got some financial things to do tomorrow and the next day with my writer for my insurance. It's not exactly it's an annuity, not an insurance policy, but I still need a writer. You can't get annuities on your own. You need somebody to help you, whether an advisor or a writer. And I've got a writer, which is perfect for me because I don't need advice on what to do with my money. Everybody who gives advice generally advises taking much more risk than I would take, so I don't need a writer at all. I'm more conservative, and I know what I want to do. Because of that, my options are limited to conservative options because of that. So it's time to end the study. It's July 31st, 2023, 17:42 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much, and have a wonderful day if that suits you. And I want to say, in my behalf, it's Star and Cammie saying bye for now.